We get it. After all the frustration, the endless cycles of hoping for a system that actually works, you're ready for something steady. Something that delivers without constant workarounds or headaches. That's why we're excited to introduce the 2025 redesign of the Buzz CRM. Built with you in mind, it's more intuitive, faster, and smarter than ever. Finally, a CRM that sees your worth, streamlines your workflows, and gives you the tools to thrive without needing to prove yourself over and over again. Because you deserve a lifeline after all those outdated platforms. You deserve a system that keeps up with your goals and grows with your success. This isn't just a redesign, it's a revolution. Visit thebuzzcrm.com today. That's thebuzzcrm.com. We get it. After all the frustration, the endless cycles of hoping for a system that actually works, you're ready for something steady. Something that delivers without constant workarounds or headaches. That's why we're excited to introduce the 2025 redesign of the Buzz CRM. Built with you in mind, it's more intuitive, faster, and smarter than ever. Finally, a CRM that sees your worth, streamlines your workflows, and gives you the tools to thrive without needing to prove yourself over and over again. Because you deserve a lifeline after all those outdated platforms. You deserve a system that keeps up with your goals and grows with your success. This isn't just a redesign, it's a revolution. Visit thebuzzcrm.com today. That's thebuzzcrm.com.
Welcome to SEO 101, your introductory course on search engine optimization. So, turn on your computers, open your minds, grab your mouse, and get ready to get back to the basics. SEO 101 on webmasterradio.fm. Is now in session.
Hello and welcome to SEO 101 on webmasterradio.fm, episode number 330. This is Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, and my co-host is John Carcutt, the Vice President of Strategy for Reflexive Media. How goes the move in, my friend? You're all done?
We got everything in the house, so that's a good start. Now it's putting everything back together. And I'm sorry we had a couple of shows we missed. I take responsibility for at least one of them, maybe both of them.
I'm sure I can take one too. I've been doing lots of long weekend camping trips and it's been awesome, man. But it's making it very difficult to keep on top of my work. So, yeah. That's the time of year, right?
Yeah, it is. It's summer. Everybody's out having a good time except me. I'm packing and unpacking.
Oh, well, you've got a nice lake in your front yard. So there you go. Or pond,
well,
anyway.
You know, that makes it worthwhile.
All right. Well, we've got a lot to talk about today. It came together quite nicely. So where did I lose my notes? What are we starting with here? Show notes. Here we go. So, I like this. This was an article by Simon Heseltine on Search Engine Land. And Simon talked about how to project SEO traffic levels and avoid saying, it depends. So the reason I thought this was good, I mean, normally I would have just skipped this by, but I saw that Simon wrote it and I know he knows his stuff. So I wanted to see what he said. And he's got some good points. It's always going to be, first of all, it's always going to be, it depends. But
yes,
he at least hones it to an educated guess. So what he says here is that, you know, I know he's talking more from an enterprise point of view, you know, a corporate structure where your boss needs to know, or the upper management needs to know some idea of the chances of success and what it might mean for them. You know, you're often put in a difficult position. So I think that's the direction he's taken this. So first of all, he talks about baselining. And this is on searchengineland.com, so you can easily find it there. The baseline is, you know, determining, you know, where your traffic's coming from, how much you're getting over a specific amount of time. Very, very simple, right? Mm-hmm. Next, look at seasonality. Has seasonality had any impact? Look at how your traffic's trended month to month over the last 3-5 years, whatever you decided your baseline's going to be. There should be some consistency there. And not always. I know in my business there isn't, but in many businesses, there is a consistency. And average them. Make sure you've averaged them and remove any outliers, such as, in this case, he says, such as atypically lower numbers for 1 month in 2016 when a large portion of the site was not indexed during a site relaunch. You know, look for the things that could cause aberrations that would really mess your data up. Then he looks at annual trending. Look at how traffic to your site has been growing year to year over the past few years. If your typical growth is 5% year to year, that's what you should most likely expect as a baseline growth. Look at your history. See what projects you've done over the years to get an idea of the impact they may have had. And consider all of these when you're doing your trending. Next, he talks about upcoming projects. Based on previous performance of projects, you can get some idea of how they may perform. This could be, you knew that it took X amount of weeks before anything took hold on average. Again, you can base these on averages. Use that to inform your quotes or estimates. You're going to have to take into, have to have some caveats here. Search engine algorithm updates are going to be happening. They always do. You can always have a little list of caveats, just again, to make it really clear to the upper brass that no matter what you say here, there's going to be stuff that you can't control. Have lots of caveats. That's all I can say.
I think for the new SEOs, one of the basic things to really take from this, when you're talking about traffic patterns, you're talking about projections, don't base it month over month. I still see that happening occasionally. We did this much better than we did last month. Always look at year over year. Year over year makes so much more sense because of the seasonality, because of trends and business practices, and all the trends are different for different business niches, right? And seasonality is different for different business niches. Always use year over year as your baseline when you're looking for growth. Yeah. I think that's the important thing to take from this.
And there's lots of ifs, ands, or buts. I mean, if you're going to look at your year over year growth, but the first year was your first year of the website being around, well, it's not really going to have
you're guaranteed at least 100% growth.
Yeah, guaranteed. And you're not going to see that kind of growth again, unless you got something pretty phenomenal going on, or it was very small amount of traffic to start with. So you got to take a lot of things with a grain of salt. But I liked it. I thought it was really sort of tricky topic that he went for that's going to have a lot of naysayers. But I do think that he's right. There are certain things you can do to at least improve your chances of being accurate. Always going to be some outliers there.
Yeah, someone writes some good stuff.
Yeah, he does. So another bit here is just a small notice within the advertising community. Google, this is one of the forums, and Google jumped in there to say, and this is quote, "We're in the process of launching a new notification that informs you when your business goes live on Google services like search and maps," unquote. This hasn't rolled out yet. It will only apply to US-based, EN-US is what they said, which is what really confuses me, because usually when they say EN-US, that's usually in your header of your website. I don't really think of it anywhere else. I don't know where else you can figure that unless they're talking Google Search Console, which...
Well, that's what I was going to ask. Where are these notifications going to show up? Does it say, are they going to be in the Google My Business? Is it going to be in Search Console?
They're going to be email, as far as I know. Or the notifications, but I don't know for certain. Let's see here. Let me see if she actually mentions this. Her name's Allison. And she states that, it's email. If you don't want to receive an email notification, you can unsubscribe by managing your notifications. Email. Managing. Interesting.
Where? Is it Google My? That's, again, it goes back to Google where you use that. Is it Google My Business? Okay.
Yeah.
Which does make sense, but you never know with these guys.
But again, EN-US is not a setting I know of in Google My Business. That's a Google Search Console. I guess, I don't know. But I do know one thing, though. It says, if your user language preference is set to ENUS. So maybe it's your Google profile, period.
Maybe, yeah.
It's interesting wording. I'm not exactly sure how to take it. But I think it's a fair bet that that doesn't mean only the US. Because unless, for example, I don't use EN-CA. On my sites, because frankly, oftentimes I get associated with the French then, and it confuses the hell out of everything I do. So I just use US to be sure I don't get French.
Yeah, maybe they were just saying they're only going to send it out in U.S. English. So if you're set in your personal to have everything in English, U.S. based English, then you'll get it. If not, you won't.
Yeah, the reason I mentioned it only at the end there is that I like the idea that this could potentially be rolled out to the Canada as well. Just again, it's about English, U.S. English. So, anywho, it's good to see, and I like the idea. I've got one of those feelings. This is going to be a tester that's going to disappear, though. Notifying you that we went online. There's just too many things that they do to change. You know, you could go offline the next day, and then they're going to get complaints. They're like, this isn't worth it.
Yeah. Very true.
It's like notifying everyone of algorithmic updates.
But I'm glad they test stuff, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Let's just hope it doesn't get tested. Everyone starts relying on it. And then anyway, it is nice though. I love the idea of knowing when these things have launched. It's the kind of thing that would just take a little more off our plate. Keeping on top of it.
If you think about the millions of businesses they have to service with, that it sounds like a simple little thing to do, but it's probably not with as many businesses and differences between systems. It's probably not simple at all. No. I doubt anything they do is simple.
True that.
Free lunches. Those are good.
All right. The next one's yours.
So it's interesting. Google has come out specifically and said that pogo sticking is not a ranking factor. And I kind of understood
what was pogo sticking mean.
Yeah, I kind of understood what pogo sticking was, just kind of how it was referenced. But I personally hadn't heard it called that before. But it's basically the idea that if someone goes to the search results and they click on your link and go to your site and immediately come back and click on another one and go over and come back. It's kind of like we talk about it sometimes in terms of dwell time. How long are they on your site once they click through into it? And if the dwell time is really, really short, and they leave right away and go back to search. A lot of people have talked about that as being an issue when it comes to ranking factors. Well, Google's coming out very specifically saying that is not a ranking factor, which is good to know because there's always been a lot of speculation and a lot of conversation around it. But then again, Google doesn't always mean what they say. So I never really thought it was. Now they're saying it's not, but I bet there's going to be people out there arguing that it probably still is.
See, I wish I had a eidetic memory. It'd be so much easier.
Yeah, you need both.
I'm 90% certain I've heard them say that they consider quick return to traffic. Like, that pogo sticking is what they're calling it. I was sure that they did look at that. They did consider, you know, sites that are regularly just people come right back to results and go back to a particular.
This is one of those situations where we get conflicting information from them. Yeah. You know, different people say different things at different times, and they don't coordinate their conversations or their messaging, and so we get confused. And this is one of those places where we have some of both. People say, yes, it works. No, it doesn't. But Google is now coming out very specifically and saying this is not a ranking factor. So
when I read this quote, it's too lengthy to read out here. I'm getting the impression that they don't do it per page. He says individual pages a lot in this quote, but they would do it per site. You know, if they got an overarching...
So if different pages from the same domain had this pogo sticking happening, you're thinking that would have an impact of the trust of the overall site, but not necessarily each individual search result.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I'm probably reading into it. I don't believe that this is, again, I want to, I mean, but the fact is it doesn't make any sense. From all the stuff I've heard them say before, so the contradiction is bothering me. but I would agree though that per page, you know, they're too big to doing that per page. It would have to be more of an overarching signal. But what does that mean?
But at the same time, we've heard talks about, well, they're not going to do that because that would open it up for manipulation, because someone could set up a system to go in and you know, do a lot of pogo sticking on a competitor's
results. It may be easy to script something and just have a computer running 24/7 that does that pogo sticking on a competitor's site and cause them problems.
If we assume that that had a major factor in the algorithm, you could even have a small thing. But hey, it's no wonder some days we feel overwhelmed and just need to sleep. There's there's a lot of stuff to consider these days.
Yep. I think, honestly, though, it goes back to just creating valuable content, answering the questions people are asking in search. And that's, to me, that's just the baseline of everything related to SEO, is providing the right information that people are looking for. Then you don't have to worry about pogo sticking. You don't have to worry about, you know, all the weird little things that have a little miniature impact to us. The more you provide good information, the more authority your site gains over time, the more backlinks you generate, the more content, the more reach you have in a search. It just all goes back to that to me. I mean, of course, you have to have the technical foundation set to have everything indexed properly, but it all goes back to the content.
True enough. Okay, well, we'll just take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about Google bombing. Something we haven't heard in a long time, and I probably just got flagged by the homeland. But anyway,
SEO 101 will be back right after recess.
Catholic Charities is committed to providing life's basic needs.
We thank you for bringing us all here today, letting these people understand how Catholic Charities runs and how important these people are. And we ask you to guide them, to protect them, and keep them here forever, because this community needs them.
Visit www.catholiccharitiesusa.org to learn more.
Hi, I'm Montel Williams. Most of you know me as a talk show host, but I'm also an author, actor, single father of four, avid snowboarder, and I'm also a medical marijuana patient. Living with multiple sclerosis, I'm in pain every day. Medical marijuana is my last resort, and it helps me when all other drugs have failed. If you'd like more information about medical marijuana, you can contact the Marijuana Policy Project at mpp.org or call 1-877-JOIN-MPP.
There are over 70 million active podcast listeners in the U.S. Webmasterradio.fm reaches them all with the largest global distribution of any online business-to-business podcast network. Through iHeartRadio, iTunes, Stitcher, and the Webmasterradio.fm mobile app, we can target and place your message in front of those active listeners immediately. Now, your message can be delivered with less commitment and investment on over 20 hours of weekly original content hosted by the most respected names in digital marketing, thanks to an exclusive private offer available for a very limited number of companies. But you must act fast. Email brasco@wmr.fm and get your message delivered now.
Okay, class, take your seats and no talking. Recess is over and SEO 101 is back in session, only on webmasterradio.fm.
Welcome back to SEO 101 on webmasterradio.fm, hosted by John Carcutt, the Vice President of Strategy for Reflexive Media, and myself, Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, Inc. So I didn't read this, and I'm totally intrigued. Tell me.
Google bombing. Google bombing is back. Google bombing, just kind of, for those of you who haven't heard that phrase, and I'm sure, it always, whenever I see it, it tends to be political oriented. So I'm going to try to stay away from the political aspect of it as much as possible. But Google bombing is when a group of people together, usually people in Reddit, it seems like, get this going. They did it to George Bush, and they ended up creating a bunch of links across the internet that used the phrase miserable failure. And they linked that phrase to George Bush's profile page on the White House's website, so whitehouse.gov. So anytime you searched miserable failure, George Bush's White House bio would show up as the number one result. So just by the links, they were able to get that page to the number one position for a certain phrase.
If you do it in Google Images, it works too.
Yeah. Well, apparently now it works in Google Images. Google said they fixed it. So whether it was a manual fix for the George Bush thing or they did something algorithmically to help prevent Google bombing, they said they took care of it. Well, it's back and it's alive and well in Google Images. And we won't talk about the political aspect of it this time, but if you go to Google Images and you search for the word idiot, I'm pretty sure you can guess what's coming up right now. Almost the whole page is pictures of a certain individual. We won't mention his name, but it's back. And it's interesting because it came from Reddit again. It's the same kind of situation where they kind of, I don't know how, I haven't been to the actual section on Reddit where they're organizing this or doing it. So I'm not exactly sure how they're doing it because it's not the same kind of, you know, it's not anchor text and link to get the images to work. I'm not sure the technical behind it, but they basically coordinated an effort to get all these images to show up for this certain phrase of a certain person. And it's interesting that it's still working, even though Google said it at a time that they had fixed it and taken care of it. So,
well, you know, it's always going to work, I would think. I mean, it's a clear signal.
Yeah. And I was under the impression when they said they fixed it for the George W. Bush era or the George Bush era that they did it manually. So yeah, they're probably going to do the same thing here at some point.
Yeah. I don't know how much luck they're going to have, but anyway, they can try.
Welcome back, Google bombing.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's partly Google bombing, and it's also partly actual legitimate sentiment. So how do they control that?
That's true.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not being political. It's just fact based on discussion. So I don't know how they can control that without messing with the whole concept of keeping search fair. Anywho.
When they did it with the Bush Google bombing, it made sense because the anchor text had that phrase in it, but that phrase appeared nowhere on the page, right? So it made sense. They could easily go and say, well, let's make a manual check because that's not a relevant result for that page because that phrase is not even on that page, right?
Well,
that made sense.
And you also have to assume that when the news broke about this of how they were manipulating and getting this ranking for idiot, they probably used an image of the person not to be named and used idiot as the image name.
The news articles,
just compounding it.
the news articles I've seen are doing screen caps of the Google search results.
Well, so I wonder what they. Okay, yeah. I've got to see. Did they title the image that?
Yeah, that would be good.
So far, no. Let's see here. Image info. Yep.
They did? Oh, my God.
I'm sure not all of them did, but oh, my.
Nothing like supporting the Reddit community.
Well, and I can't imagine the press has any problem doing that these days.
That's true.
They're not friends. Anywho. Oh,
you know what? God, about the standard search results for that phrase? I mean, there's news results now, and all the news results are about that story about the Google bombing.
Well, the results right now are about that because that's the top story.
Yeah, exactly. Videos. There's some videos about that story. Wikipedia, People Magazine. People Magazine has the second result. The title of the page is idiot with People Magazine, and it's all about the images. So it's made it to organic search second result already.
Glad it didn't work on the knowledge panel.
Yeah, me too. I looked at that as well. Luckily, the knowledge panel has been spared.
Oh, man. Formerly a legal and psychiatric category of profound intellectual disability where a person's mental age is 2 years or less and he or she cannot guard himself or herself against common physical dangers. All right. Oh, there we go. All right, moving on.
Yeah, let's move on before it gets dangerous for us.
All right. So, yes, a $5 billion bat. Ouch.
Oh, man.
So go into this.
Talk about it. Then I want to make a comment.
Oh, not much to say that people haven't already heard, I'm sure. But the European Union has fined Google $5 billion over Android antitrust. So essentially, Android was doing what they considered to be blocking competitors, anti-competition, and they figure it's absolutely clear, and they earned a good old $5 billion slap on the old head, not face, not hands. I mean, on the head. Google the got face. Nailed on this one.
But here's my question, right? They're giving it away for free. So why shouldn't they be allowed to put some of their own software in there? And they make it so you can change it. It's not locked into place, so you're forced to use it. But they give it away for free. They add some of their software. Why is that a problem?
Well, I read about this, and we could talk about this for a while, but we shouldn't. But the one thing to note was this one article I said mentioned three things. I'm going to remember one of them. One of them was that Google Play had become so critical. People expected it on their phones if they had an Android phone. However, so which meant that customization of phones was not really something that, you know, customization is not really the word, proprietary customization, I guess, of phones was difficult for handset manufacturers because Google insisted that if they, in order to put Google Play, they needed to have the browser and they also had to have, I think, some of their other apps. So okay. There were certain things that they made them do. And they also insisted that absolutely no fork of Android was allowed on a handset if they wanted to have Google's Google Play, all these things that
are. Well, that I didn't know. That doesn't make sense because the manufacturers have to do forks to separate themselves.
Yeah. And that's part of the reason it was totally anti-competition there. They were not allowing it, hands down. No in between.
Yeah. I kind of got a feeling of $5 billion's pocket change at this point.
Yeah, but you just know the EU will do it again next year if they want to. There's no limit to how much they can go after Google.
I wonder what they would do if Google just decided to pull out of Europe. No Android, no search, nothing, right? Would they cheer, hey, we won, yay? Or would they like freak out? I know Google wouldn't do it, but just hypothetically.
Google would lose too much money. They'd lose shares. It'd be big hit. But you also have to look at, too,
the EU would lose even worse, I think, the people living there.
Obviously, I'm a fan of Android, so I certainly would hate it. But, you know, hacking is hacking. There'd be hacked everything, Google. Anyway, it would still be there. The thing, too, let me think here. So Google... Android. I lost it. Damn it. Anywho, I can't count how many times that's happened to me. So the next bit here is about Matt Cutts. And I thought this was pretty cool too. I know you weren't here, but he, and this does make sense too. Back in the day, Matt Cutts asked MozCon, Moz being one of the at that time, smaller conferences, but now a lot larger, not to bring in Black Hat speakers. And the perceived statement being that if you do, that this is not something we're comfortable with. And that makes good sense. I mean, if Google's going to go to a conference, they probably don't want to be associated with one that also suggests ways to game Google. I don't like the idea that it also sort of limits conference freedom of speech and such, but...
Yeah, but the interesting thing is this is the first organizer of a concert, Rand Fishkin, organizer of a conference that actually came out and said that they asked for them to do this. There's no doubt in my mind that they asked every conference the same thing. They asked, search engine or before it was search engine strategies, before it was SMX. In both cases, I almost guarantee that they asked the same thing there. I'm with you. I don't have a problem with it. I would rather not have a lot of the Black Hat stuff discussed openly at all, because it's like I was in a Facebook group just this week, and someone asked the question, "What's the best Black Hat technique you've ever used?" And there were lots of people answering all kinds of stuff. My comment was, I've got a really good one, but I'm not going to throw it in there and chum the waters, because that's exactly what you're doing. Everybody that read that thread is going to go look up and try to figure out how to do the stuff that other people were talking about. And the same thing would have happened at conferences, right? It just spreads the issue, the problems that Black Hat causes. I mean, and it does cause issues. And people
face the fact.
Go ahead.
Face the facts, too. Most of the time when you hear about something that people have done, it's long since stopped being worthy of being used.
Yeah.
So they're going to hurt themselves.
And the people that are doing this, the really good Black Hats, are on the cutting edge. And they know what's going on. They know the impact of what they're doing. They know the risks involved. If you just talk about it in a conference to some novices, or even like something at SMX Advanced, where there's really good people there in the audience as well as on the stage, a lot of those people aren't going to understand the risks or the problems involved in these techniques you're talking about, and could get themselves and potentially their clients in serious trouble.
Yeah. I mean, the ones who do know that stuff, like you said, are the experts. There's no incentive at all for them to share.
Yeah, absolutely not.
They make hundreds of thousands of dollars off this garbage. And hey, that's their shtick. Good for them, I guess. But there's no reason they're going to share it unless you're going to give them the kind of coin that they could make from it.
So that's remind me to tell you after the show's over, off the air, the one Black Hat technique I thought about sharing in that thing, but I'd like to do it.
Sure. We'll make sure we stop recording.
Yes. It's pretty insidious. Like, I found it out just because I was studying a competitor of one of my clients, and like, wow, that's just crazy that they're getting away with this.
Unreal. Well, it's time for the Mueller files. And this is pretty cool. You know, we talked about this before, but it got picked up again, which is, hey, that's good for us. The search roundtable. So good old Barry Schwartz noted that John Mueller had picked us one of his top five podcasts. Yay.
It sounded like the ones that he listened to, or I wasn't sure if he was just recommending them or that he actually listened. So John, if you're listening, thank you. And, you know, I was talking to somebody that, you know, Ross, you and I probably should start talking to John as we're in the podcast, if he's listening, to kind of help influence. I don't know if it'd work like it does in, you know, Fox News does it, but we can try.
We're sorry, John. We don't want you to have any parallel to that.
No, not at all. We're more comparing ourselves to Fox, not you to somebody else.
Yes, exactly. yes. Well, who knows? We have the odd rant. I doubt it does anything, but
exactly.
Maybe the odd time, you know, maybe once a year. anyway, so it's good to see. And it, as a result, it's got picked up. It's gotten a little more attention. So hopefully we've got some new listeners. And if you're new to us, thanks for giving us a try. Hope you're enjoying what you're listening to.
I did see the questions pick up in the community recently. So either that was because we were asking people to, or people started taking notice. So if you're new listening in, go to our SEO 101 community on Google Plus and ask your questions. We've got a really active community there.
Yeah, and actually, it's a good point. I was going to bring something up. Mark Taylor, our awesome moderator, is probably going to take a little bit of a step back. So because John and I are very busy, we're going to have to consider what we want to do, because we get a lot of spam on that community, as you might expect. So I don't know whether this is going to happen. John and I are going to talk about it. We may enable, that you have to request to join. We'll make it quick, but you may have to request to join, just again, so that we have the ability to pick and choose who make it in. We're going to let most people come in, but then if they do post something that's obviously spam, at least we can keep them out. Something that just might make things easier. I don't know.
And the Google Plus community spam filters are actually really good. Yeah. Better than some that I've seen in other places. So
yeah, they certainly have a lot of spam to work with.
Oh yeah. I look at some of the other SEO communities on Google Plus, I'm like, why do they have 60,000 members and we only have 10,000 members? It's because they let the spammers go crazy in those places and they just fill it up with spam. Ours is a pretty well moderated. Mark does an amazing job moderating community to keep that stuff clean. So
yeah, I did it today. And you know, the fact is, I'm just going to ban people who spam. There's just no in between. If it's clear spam, it's ban. Done.
I've done that too. Yeah, absolutely.
And that will keep our numbers lower, but that's fine with us.
for sure.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's take a quick break. When we get back, we got some more Mueller files and perhaps a community question if we get to her. Thanks.
SEO 101 will be back right after recess.
St. Jude continues to advance by increasing cure rates in childhood cancer. And donors are important to us because you get the feeling that you have a team behind you. When it comes to research and advancements, there are some things that only we can do because we have the resources and we have the focus. And so if St. Jude doesn't do it, who will?
St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. Finding cures, saving children. Learn more at stjude.org.
Do you look at the task of ranking your site at the top of the search engines like you would climbing the top of Mount Everest? It doesn't have to be. TopSEOs.com knows how hard that climb can be, and they can make top ranking a reality. Top SEOs send you to only the right search vendors and agencies that they know will work for you. Since 2002, TopSEOs.com has reviewed and researched the best search engine marketing agencies and solutions providers. Don't risk the cost of falling off the proverbial peak of search rankings. Let Top SEOs give you peace of mind. TopSEOs.com, the independent authority on search vendors.
WebmasterRadio.fm is the destination for education, entertainment, and engagement. Engage with our panel of on-air experts and peers by following us on Facebook, Google+, Twitter, and LinkedIn. You can listen to WebmasterRadio.fm on air or on demand from our website or through iTunes, Stitcher, or however you get your podcasts. Interact and stay informed. Just search for WebmasterRadio.fm.
Okay, class, take your seats and no talking. Recess is over and SEO 101 is back in session. Only on WebmasterRadio.fm.
Welcome back to SEO 101 on WebmasterRadio.fm, hosted by John Carcutt, the Vice President of Strategy for Reflexive Media, and myself, Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, Inc. So Google slows crawling with 500 errors. So 5XX errors, any kind of 500 error, server error. So this is something that, again, was from John Mueller. Someone had brought it up. It was very, even John said, a very vague question. But essentially, he did let one thing clear, which is completely logical, that if Google is crawling a website and encounters 500 errors, they will slow their crawling. They're not likely to spend as much time on there. They're certainly going to be a little more weary. And you know why? Because 500 errors means that the server has failed to fulfill a request. So the server is having issues. Why spend valuable bandwidth trying to index a website, one of trillions, if it's just not, or one of trillions of pages, that it's not working properly?
Do you recall, I think there used to be a number that floating around the community about how many times Google will try a page before they give up?
Don't know.
I can't remember. I thought it was like 3 or 4 over a period of a couple of days in between each one.
And I think it would totally depend upon the server notice that they're getting.
Yeah, I would say so too. But they're gonna try multiple times. They're not gonna just hit that 500 and give up. They will come back.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. All right, what's next here?
So this is really interesting to me. John was talking So there's been a little bit of question about redirecting if you're switching from an HTTP to an HTTPS site. And at one point, one of the representatives, I don't remember if it was John or Gary, said, you don't really have to worry about redirects. We understand that. There's something called HSTS, which stands for HTTP Strict Transport Security. It kind of forces a site to go from HTTP to HTTPS. So people were saying, well, if you have that, you don't have to do the redirects because it already does it for you. John was pretty clear that if you are switching from HTTP to HTTPS, you should be implementing redirects between the two. So a 301 redirect from your HTTP version of a page to an HTTPS version of a page. Pretty clear. I think the quote was, yes, always redirect if you can, right? So if you're wondering, what should I do it or should I not do it? I've got HSTS configured, so I don't think I have to do it. John's recommendation is, if you have the time, if you have the resources, always do it if you can.
Yeah. So any listeners who are about to switch to HTTPS or perhaps did recently, send them to this article on Search Roundtable. That's seroundtable.com. And the title is Google. You should redirect HTTP even with HSTS configured, and they'll get an idea of what's going on here. This is a webmaster. At least they can know, they more technically minded perhaps to read up on this. I'd say the best quote though is at the end, quote unquote, from John, take your time to get HTTPS right first, then think about the implications of HSTS, unquote.
That makes sense. And kind of on a side note, kind of related to this, Bing Ads recently strongly recommended that you use HTTPS URLs if you're using their advertising service. Mm-hmm. So if you haven't converted over to HTTPS yet, it's becoming more and more of a necessity. I mean, not only is the Google ranking going to be impacted, now your paid advertising is starting to be impacted by it as well.
When I believe, I didn't read it all because I knew it wasn't really topical for us. Let me just check here on Search Engine Land. I believe it said that, I'll try and find the actual quote here. But essentially that it would have an impact on page quality score as well.
Yeah, so you're talking about Google Ads.
Yeah.
Yeah. Google Ads, which is no longer AdWords. You can't call them AdWords anymore. They changed the name. Google Ads.
Woo-hoo. Well, it certainly makes more sense to explain to clients. It does. Let's hope they stick with it.
Yeah, no doubt.
Okay, so what's up here? I'll go back to my notes.
Voice query filters.
Oh, yes. So this is just a nice little add in here. When we're using Google Search Analytics, there's ways to filter what kind of query sent you the traffic. They're still considering adding a voice query filter. It's very much not in the works, but you know, John Mueller mentioned that this is something that they would certainly, you know, they hear about a lot, and they haven't ruled out yet.
And they've been saying the same thing for well over a year, right? They say, yep, it's something we think we should do, but we don't have any plans to do it yet. I think they should do it too. They're going to have to do it at some point.
I hope so. I can never gamble on anything for them, but I sure hope they do.
Me too.
Okay, so let's jump onto this community question. I don't recall whether or not we touched on it last time. I believe we put it off because I needed a little research on it.
We did say that we were going to look. We mentioned it and said we were going to look into it, and I hope you did because I was moving.
No, it's a question from Lee Hefner, and it is something based on a recommendation I've made, so I took it upon myself. But he says, quote unquote, 1 year ago, I adopted the Divi WordPress theme after hearing on your show that it was one of the better WordPress themes. Around the same time, you were recommending the use of accelerated mobile pages as being necessary to have fast page loads for mobile devices. I'm going to unquote there just so I can reference that. We never said that you should have it for all sites, nor that it's the best way to have a page load fast for mobile devices. It's meant for specific applications. I don't use accelerated mobile pages on any one of my client sites. I would use it on, because we don't do a lot of news based or sites that really would benefit from it greatly, at least as far as I know at this stage. So I just wanted to mention that. He says, and I'll start the quote again. He says, however, I'm now frustrated with the fact that Divi is not compatible with AMP. Can you recommend an excellent WP theme that WordPress theme that is compatible with AMP? Unquote. So yes, I actually didn't know this myself. Because I haven't deployed AMP, I didn't realize this. So thank you. You've actually educated me a bit here, Lee. I didn't realize that Divi wasn't compatible. However, I did find a tutorial, which I shared with you in your question just today, that mentions how to do it. I haven't implemented. I have no idea if it works. I do know that there's more info out there about it not being possible than there is possible, which is disappointing.
Yeah, that doesn't make a lot of sense because Divi has been around for a while. it is a very good framework. So it kind of surprised me too when they said it wasn't compatible with AMP.
And I got a better understanding of it back when I first researched this, but I can't recall it exactly. But it did make sense when I did read it. I'm like, oh, I can see why that doesn't work. I think it's because of the rich layout development that Divi provides. Because Lee was saying that he can make it work if he puts it into the normal content box that's not using Divi, the Divi builder. It works fine. Mm. But when he uses the Divi builder, which has rich layout, it doesn't work.
So do you know anything about, and I know this is a little off topic, so I'm sorry, Lee, I'm hijacking your question for a second. The new version of WordPress that's coming out has taken some stuff from Divi and implemented it into core WordPress. And I can't, it has to do with creating your pages. It'll be really interesting to see if they do that, if this AMP question will have any impact on the core WordPress at that point.
I'm pretty sure I've trashed those brain cells, but I do remember us talking a bit about that. Anyway,
those are the same brain cells that I need to say the word WordPress, apparently.
Anyway, Lee, I am sorry. I you know, just got to, you know, try and read between the lines sometimes. I mean, I love Divi. I'm still behind it. I use it for every one of my sites if I can. But yeah, I had no idea you wanted to use accelerated mobile pages, so I couldn't have known to mention that as a caveat, or even that it wouldn't work. It seems surprising to me myself. I would be very surprised, however, if it doesn't get fixed at some point.
Yeah, those guys are good.
Yeah, they're very good. It's an incredible community. But if it is completely impossible, which I guess is possible, then I don't know what we're going to do.
Well, you know, Divi's going to have a revamp. If the new WordPress is taking some of their functionality and making it core to WordPress, they're going to have to update the way they do things as well. So maybe that's an opportunity for them to revamp it to include AMP compatibility direct.
Yeah. Well, and again, they're brilliant. I can see them adding yet more functionality now that WordPress can support parts of their aspects of their service. Yeah, I have no doubt that it's going to continue to be a great product. Okay, the next question is from Josh Overbeek. It says, I'm a longtime listener of the show. Hey, thank you, Josh. One of our clients acquired a site that gets a lot of traffic built on a lot of toxic links, like 2,600. Oof. We are trying to figure out where to start with disavowing while preserving search engine ranking pages as much as possible. Should we take a nuclear approach and disavow any of the fishy links? Should we leave it? Some domains have hundreds of links pointing to the website. My gut is to just disavow everything except the higher quality links. I think I just need confirmation that this is the right decision, unquote.
And there was a couple of comments in the thread in our community on this question. Mark asked a couple of questions, and apparently a lot of the links have come in since January of this year. So they're relatively new spammy links. But January is also a pretty long time for Google to discover them and have an impact on the site as well. He says he gets a lot of traffic, and in the thread on the community, he gets like 700 to 800 unique visitors a day, which is a good chunk of traffic. And he's worried that he's going to lose some of that if he starts disavowing all these spammy links. Just to kind of flesh this out a little bit.
So I've had this situation before with other clients. How I respond to it would probably differ based on the timeline of Google's of the Google. But in this situation, I'm always paranoid as well. I would not just disavow everything. I would be extra cautious. First of all, I'd like to know, 2,600, what's the percentage of all the links pointing to the site? Is that a small percentage?
Good question.
I mean, if it is small, then don't worry about it. Maybe disavow just those, the worst ones. And Google has to know and does know, I'm certain of it, that there is a portion of links that people get that they just can't control that are going to be crap. And if it looks like it's something you bought, well, that's different. If it's a massive portion of the links you have, that's different. Now, let's assume it is a massive portion. What would you do? Well, in that situation, I would be very slow about removing them. I would prioritize them. I would do it very slowly. And that's only if you're really concerned about it. You said that they have come in recently, which is the only thing that gives me pause. If it was something that had been there for a while, I'm not even sure I worry about it all that much. As long as you're continuing to build good ones to quit, you know, over time outweigh the others.
Yeah, that was a factor for me too, thinking about this is these are new links. So A, Google may not have really fully comprehended them yet, and they may have an impact down the road. Two, if they're new, have they stopped? Are they still coming in? And who's creating them, right? That would be a couple of questions I'd want to know. And I'm also a little bit suspicious about this whole question just because he used the number 2600, which is the name of the number one hacking magazine out there.
There you go. So. Well, and yeah, I have to wonder how all these came in January. What was this person? What did the person buy?
Yeah. Again, I would want to look at the backlink profile and see if they all came in at once, if they came in gradually over 3 or 4 months, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And you did say that some of the domains have hundreds of links pointing to the website. If you know one domain that has 100 links and you know it's bad, that's you start. You disavow that whole domain right off the bat to see if it has an impact, right? And do it slowly over time. Don't do them all at once.
If all of the links are bad and you're getting good rankings, then I don't know, your time's kind of numbered. Your days are numbered anyway. I would just, until you've built better links. So build better links. Don't disavow anything if you want. Just keep business going. And then, I mean, I know that's kind of crazy in some regards, but I want to play it safe. I want to make sure you got money coming in.
Yeah. And I think your point, Ross, about the percentage of the overall backlink profile is a key one here, right? If it's 1% and you're still driving traffic, I wouldn't even bother with any of it, right? If it's 80% of your links, then you got a problem.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, hustle, get some of the other ones done. And the other question is this negative SEO? Did the person buy these? If not, then that's a real question to consider. Not that you do much about it, but at least it'd be good to know. Because no matter that, if it is negative SEO and you make, let's say, another website, let's say worst case scenario, well, it might just follow you because whoever was doing that may just be in on your case again. Worst case scenario.
Yeah. So Josh, I think the key takeaways here are one, understand where they came from and if it stopped. Two, understand what percentage of your overall backlink profile these links are. And act accordingly. And three, if you decide to do disavowing, don't do it all at once. Pick some of the more egregious ones, do them first, wait a little bit, see if there's any impact, then pick another set and do those over time.
Yes, don't go nuclear. There's a reason there's a lot of damage with nuclear. Yeah. Exactly. It's a scary approach. Okay, well, I hope that helped you out, Josh, and thanks for posting your question. Everyone else, please post questions. We love them. And you can we put some love into responses. We want to make sure you guys are happy too. Well, on behalf of myself, Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, and John Carcutt, the Vice President of Strategy for Reflexive Media, thank you for joining us today. If you have any questions you'd like to share with us, please feel free to post them on our Google Plus community page, easily found by searching SEO 101 podcast on Google. Have a great week, and remember to tune into future episodes, which air at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern, every Monday on webmasterradio.fm.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
The opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and hosts and do not necessarily reflect those of WebmasterRadio.fm's management or sponsors. Any rebroadcast or redistribution without authorized consent of WebmasterRadio.fm is prohibited.
Sure, you may be able to hear just how crispy the McDonald's Crispy Juicy Tender Chicken Sandwich is, but that's just the beginning. The full crispy, juicy, tender experience comes after you take your first bite. But why stop there? Order ahead on the app and get medium fries and soft drink for free. Now that's a deal that tastes even better than it sounds.
Valid 8:30 to 9:19, 10:11 to 10:31, and 11:22 to 12:12:21. Valid one time per week. McDonald's app download and registration required.